You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
More rock, less Zaldor.
And now, from Motor City, USA,
Detroit, Michigan,
spinning the best local original music and giving it to the world, this is Insomnia Radio Detroit. And now, your host for Insomnia Radio Detroit, Les Zaldor.
Hey, all you Insomnia Radio fans, this is Les Zaldor back again for Insomnia Radio Detroit, episode number 21, which you can find over at detroit.insomniaradio.net. And I've got a special treat for you guys on this episode. I have an interview with the lead singer of the great band Electric Six. It was my honor to interview him, did a great interview with him, and kind of get his feeling for the history of the band, is also for what the plans are for the future. They got an album that's coming out in about a week from now, on October 21st. The name of the album is called Flashy. It's coming out on Metropolis Records. It's a great album. I've heard all of it. It's a great album. It's worth checking out. I'll be playing a couple tracks from that as well as the interview. And if you guys get a chance to see them, they're coming on tour. They'll be going all over the Midwest and the West Coast as well. And then they come on and finish up in Detroit at the end of November. It's going to be a great tour. Hope you guys can check it out. They actually were going to tour with Local H and another band called the Golden Dogs. But I just checked their website just today. And actually today they announced that unfortunately they can't. The guys in the Golden Dogs aren't able to do the join Local H and Electric Six for the tour. So it's going to be Golden Dogs are not going to be able to make it, but it's going to be Electric Six and Local H. Well worth go checking out that tour. Starts on October 17th and ends on November 29th. Well worth checking out. I'm going to be playing a song that's the first single off the album, Formula 409. We start things off and we'll go right into the interview. Hope you guys enjoy it. Feel free to drop me a line at detroit@insomniaradio.net and let me know. This is the Electric Six right here, Formula 409 from their new album, Flashy.
Baby,
Dick Valentine, who's lead singer and mastermind behind the great Detroit band Electric Six, whose fifth CD, Flashy, is due out October 21st on Metropolis Record, and you guys recently got signed on Round Records in the UK, which is awesome.
Thanks. I believe that's awesome, too. I feel great getting back into the UK game. We shouldn't discount the UK ever. I think that it's an island nation of 60 million people, and they keep making more of them. They've got the same sort of problem with too many people that we do. You got too many people looking for an outlet, and we're just glad to be one of those outlets.
Yeah, and then you guys got quite a big following over the UK, I understand, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's all relative. If you look at David Beckham, no, it's not quite that big. But if you look at the average guy in the street walking around Clawson, then yeah, we probably do have a bigger following than him.
Yeah, definitely compared to people out in Detroit and Clawson area, definitely.
Right. But I mean, yeah, I've always been intrigued by Clawson. I don't know where you're podcasting from. But to me, Clawson it's always been a really intriguing part of the metro area, because you don't really understand why it exists. It should be part of Troy, or it should be part of Royal Oak, and yet there's this thing kind of in the middle of both of them called Clawson that stands alone.
And if you blink, you drive right through it, too. So
it's amazing. Yeah, exactly. It's like, why is that's one of the seven greatest mysteries of the universe, is why is Clawson there?
I'm in Lincoln Park right now, so I've been through Clawson many times.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's another fascinating area as well, is the whole Lincoln Park phenomenon.
Yeah, the whole Downriver area is kind of like its own little, I don't know what you want to say, a clique almost.
I get that. I understand that. I mean, Detroit, if you think about it, is really four different experiences in one. You have the Downriver experience, the East Side mm-hmm. experience, then you have the North Woodward area experience, and then you've got the city itself. So, and pretty much none of the twain really meet.
No, not very often. Or you get...
Yeah, you've got all these different functions of the same metro area, all congregating to the same economy, and yet none of us really care about each other or understand each other.
Exactly. Talk about the band, how the Wild, you started out as Wild Bunch, and you changed your name to the Electric Six. How did that all get together, and when did it start? And actually, where was your first official gig at, too?
Oh, as the Wild Bunch, the first official gig was in August of 1996 at Zoot's Coffee House. And I remember played about 8 or 9 songs, one of them being Rio by Duran Duran. And there were maybe, 20, 30 people there. And then the next show was 2 nights later at the Old Miami.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The first two shows were actually the anniversaries of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombing. And we did, that was not intentional. Like we figured that out later that actually happened that way. So yeah, that was the Wild Bunch. We were a collective of people that all went to the same high school, and got together kind of post college to put together the band, and then we remained the Wild Bunch for about 5-6 years. Got our record deal. We're forced to change our name,
yeah.
And then made some lineup changes, and now here we are.
Yeah, I checked out an old YouTube video of the Wild Bunch, like a promo thing where it talked about different live videos from you guys as the Wild Bunch, and looked like you guys were ready to go as Wild Bunch, and then somebody said, nah, you can't use that name. What happened with that?
Well, there was a Wild Bunch out there, and we always knew about them. It was a DJ collective, part of Massive Attack and Tricky and so forth. Mm. And we always knew they were out there, and people were always like, well, eventually if you ever get some sort of deal, you're going to have to change your name. You can't be the Wild Bunch. And, we never really changed it until we actually had to. And, once we got to the point, it was kind of funny because we still were unprepared. We didn't have a name ready to go. And there was a period of 2 months or so when we were just going back and forth about what our name was going to be, and there was a lot of contention and a lot of people were like, I'm going to quit if that's the name, or I don't want to be this name, I don't want to be that name. And so Electric Six, nobody liked it, but nobody was going to quit, and so that was how we came to be Electric Six.
That was the one that everybody kind of was settled with, I guess.
Everyone agreed to stay in the band if that was the name. then ironically 2 months later half the band quit anyway.
That's right. Yeah, because you're the only original member from Wild Bunch that's currently in the band now, right?
Yeah, our keyboard player, Tate Nucleus, was kind of a bridge member because he played with those guys, but he wasn't an official member. But as soon as there was an opening for Tate to be an official member. He was first in line.
So who's the rest of the band then? Tate, you talked about. Who else is in the band?
We have the Colonel and Johnny National, who joined back in 2003. Mm-hmm. And our drummer Percussion World came on in 2005. And our bass player Smorgasbord came in 2007. And I think this will be the lineup for some time to come.
Now you guys use the pseudonyms for everybody's names. What made you decide to do that? And have you had any problems when you were accidentally called, like Tate, his real name, while on stage or in an interview, for example?
Oh yeah, no, it really doesn't matter to us. In fact, it's one of those things where we were much younger then, and thought it would be funny to have these names and so forth, and. You go with it, but it's not a situation where anybody really cares one way or the other about it.
Yeah, because I was interviewing a band yesterday that just wanted to start using the pseudonym name as well for all their members, and they kept slipping back and forth, calling each other the real name while I was interviewing them. So I just came to mind as like,
oh yeah, no. I mean we're all we started in our 20s, and when you're in your 20s, you have a different perspective on things. Now that you're in your 30s, you embrace your own demise and your relatives' demise, and you think about death a lot, and you think about the genealogy of your families, and you come to embrace your actual like family lineage more, and you're more proud of who you actually are and where you're given name. Whereas in your 20s, it's more of an escapist time. So I think that's your answer right there in a nutshell.
Okay, got it. Now the genre of the band is kind of multi-genre, from disco to pop to metal. Well, you haven't got country yet, and hopefully someday you'll have a country song.
Oh, I disagree. We have a song off Switzerland called Pink Flamingos, which is that's in the country wheelhouse. But yeah, country I think is probably our least favorite genre. So you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, and I almost like to think of you guys as like a modern day They Might Be Giants, with the way you guys have like.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Except they found a way to split the money two ways, whereas we're constantly under the we got to split it six ways, so it makes it harder for.
Makes
everybody.
It more difficult. Yeah, definitely. But yeah. That's what I was listening to your music. I'm going, gosh, these guys are just like They Might Be Giants when they were in the beginning, anyways.
But those guys. I mean, those guys are still going. I mean, yeah. they found ways to. I mean, they play great shows, and also I know that they're involved in children's music and mm-hmm. writing children's literature and stuff like that. And yeah. that is a coup. Like that is a way to make money. Is get into the toddler business. You know, like whether you're making clothes for toddlers or music for toddlers or literature for toddlers. I mean, it sells probably more than anything for teenagers or adults. So that's one of the best kept secrets out there.
Oh yeah, those moms will buy it all up.
Yep, it's true. So yeah, I think they're
maybe we'll have an Electric Six toddler album then for kids.
It could be. I think we have to wait until some of us actually have kids, because I do think that is something that that you have to know and you have to experience and you have to mean it. Like I think it would be pretty disingenuous if you started putting out. It'd also be creepy if you started putting out children's stuff and you didn't actually have kids.
Yeah, very creepy.
disingenuous and creepy. The Electric Six story.
You had first fame. Back in 19, well, it's about 2003 was about when everything started hitting big for you guys with the first record Fire, and you had the big singles Danger, High Voltage, and Gay Bar, and you guys took off from there. And the Gay Bar video is kind of strange. You got a lot of weird videos, even just from way back then, even to present day. So we'll talk about that later. But what was all the fame like in the very beginning with the first album?
Well, first of all, I like to refer to it as semi-fame. I mean, I don't think it was. I mean, it was definitely different from what we were used to from the last 6 years. But you know, you just have to take it all in perspective. I mean, it was cool. It wasn't so much like being on television or on the radio. But I mean, I started racking up countries at that time. Like before 2003, I'd never left North America, and mm-hmm. then by the end of 2003, I'd been to like 30-35 countries. So it was. To me, it was just the travel and like, being in a different city. Like that, I thought was pretty amazing. And I look at like what this band has done and some of the places we've been. That's what I'm proudest of. Not of like any chart position or record sale or anything like that. It's just that we actually going to some of these places and seeing them.
We'll be right back.
model transatlantic flight. JFK to Heathrow in the middle of the night. If I am mistaken, you must let me know. I'll take your leave and away I go. Ooh, ooh. Runway and sail into the sky. I thought I caught your eye then, you seemed a little shy. The captain's on the radio, he says buckle your seat tight. There's nasty weather, we're in for a bumpy flight. In the event of a water landing, you can use my body as a flotation device. It's getting cold now, you can use my body flotation tragedy, a fire in the night over the Nova Scotia Sea. There's no survivors, no signs of life are found. The ocean of you witness, the water's just gone down. Did I meet you, baby, on a transatlantic flight? The one that disappeared there in the middle of the night. You know I loved you, baby, though I never got to show you. Seems we've an eternity for me to get to know you. In the event landing, you can use my body as a flotation device. It's getting cold now, you can use my body as a flotation device.
I got to ask the question. I'm sure everybody's asked you about the Jack White rumor. Is it true or not?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've always been on record. We were fortunate enough that he was available that night. We were doing the song, and our guitar player at the time was like, I think the way you sing this line, you sound like Jack White. We should actually have him come in. And I think he was just like at home eating a TV dinner or something. And, yeah, came down to the studio. So yeah, I mean, he's been a big part of the fact that we're able to do this for a living, because I don't think we would have had a record deal if he wasn't in the mix.
You still talk to him at all?
No, I was never that tight with him. He was more of an acquaintance. So okay. I've seen him around, but yeah, it's been a while. Every now and then.
You guys don't really keep in touch that often.
No. Like I said, even before. We were playing in Detroit and stuff, I wasn't that tight with him. He was just a guy that I knew, saw his shows and stuff like that. But, like I said, I was trying to give him as much credit as I can, because I really doubt that we'd be anywhere if it weren't for him.
The songs in there, like I was talking about, Danger, High Voltage, Gay Bar, and those two are songs that everybody recognizes when they think of Electric Six. The Danger High Voltage video, or not the video, but the song, was featured in a Subaru commercial with sumo wrestlers. What was that kind of, how'd that all come about?
Generally, anytime you see our song being used, it just comes to the publishers, and we just have to, like, ask, is this okay? I mean, and the thing I've always said about Electric Six is, you can't really play the integrity card anyway, so it's never a question we're not gonna say, oh, we don't want to sell out. I mean, you can't look at a song like Gay Bar and say, oh, I don't want the integrity of Gay Bar to be compromised anyway. No, of course, just take the money and put it out there because it's Gay Bar, you know.
Right.
So that's the beauty of being in our band, is that there is no integrity card to play.
And why did you play Abe Lincoln on Gay Bar video?
That was the director's idea.
Oh, really?
That
was your idea.
No. The many of the videos have been the director's concept. I'm not that much of a visual guy. I'm more of an audio guy. So yeah. I just kind of put myself out there as a tabula rasa. As far as Abe Lincoln, I guess there's rumors that he might have been bisexual or gay or something. So I think that was the idea.
That was the slant on it all.
All right. Yeah, that was the impetus.
And then final one more song I want to talk about from that first album is the song Improper Dancing. I read about that was mm-hmm. Somebody got kicked out of a bar in Detroit. Was that what the song's about?
It was in Ann Arbor, actually. We played the Blind Pig, and my friend Steve Christensen, I guess, went to the dance club next door, and he was in a window freaking some girl in the corner or something, and he got he got thrown out for improper dancing. So we had that term, etched into our consciousness, and we knew we had to write a song called Improper Dancing at some point.
It's a good song. It's a really catchy song. And when I saw you guys playing live, everybody went crazy. That was really cool.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff on the first album is definitely seems to go over really well. And that's what I was like, we dust off like Improper Dancing or Naked Pictures or something like that. It's always nice.
The subsequent albums, Senior Smoke, Switzerland, and a really long title, I Shall Exterminate, Everything Around Me That Restricts Me From Being the Master, were all received with not as much popularity as Fire was. But there were some good gems in there, of course. There was the song, the cover on Senior Smoke of Queen's Radio Gaga, which you guys got to play on Top of the Pops in Britain, which is really, really cool to see. I mean, how was that received from the people in Britain when you're playing Queen's song in their home country on Top of the Pops?
Oh, well, yeah, we'd been the first show we ever played in London, we did Radio Gaga at, and all the heads of our, we put the record label and the publishers were there, and they were just like, they seized on that. They were like, you have to do a cover of Radio Gaga. We have to release it. We were really resistant to it for a couple of years, and we didn't want to do it. And then it became so relentless, and we changed labels, and that was kind of like part of the deal was if you come onto our label, we got to do Radio Gaga and so forth. So I mean, it just became a necessary evil, and me personally, I just felt like let's just get it over with because we're clearly going to lose this battle. I mean, it's been relentless, and let's put it out. So I'm very proud of the video as far as actually doing a cover song like that.
I was going to ask you about the video too. So
yeah, I think the video is hilarious.
Hilarious. I was cracking up. I was laughing out loud when I was watching the video. And you're playing the ghost of Freddie Mercury, and what's with the poodles?
Again, it's the same directors that did the Gay Bar video, so I can't speak for what they come up with, but it seems to work.
Yeah,
so,
it works.
My take on that is just, we did it, we put it behind us, and now we'll never do another cover again.
No, you never do another cover, eh?
Not after that. I mean, it leaves kind of a bad taste in your mouth, I think. People ask you, are you big Queen fans? You must love Queen, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, for nothing else, you just get tired of answering those questions.
So you never do a cover that you would record anyways, because I know you guys have done covers live, right?
Yeah, we have. We just haven't done them in a while, and I think the reason being is now we're getting into our fifth album, and there are some diehard fans out there, and we have a hard enough time playing all the songs that we do, all our originals, that it would almost seem like you're somebody. There might be one or two people out there that really want to hear you know, like, I wish the song was louder off Switzerland, you know, and, like, you know, I feel bad, like, if we end up doing a cover of, you know, a Britney Spears song or something instead of that, you know, like, so, you know, I think at this point we just opt for our original material.
Well, and you got plenty of it, like you said, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of Switzerland album, is there really Germans in Mexico?
Well, that, we actually, we met a guy, when I lived up in Troy in like the late 90s, one of my housemates at the time brought this guy back from a bar, and he was like, you know, this is a German guy, but he lives in Mexico, you know, so that was kind of the inspiration right there. He worked for Ford. Yeah, he worked for Ford, and he was like worked at a Ford plant down in Mexico, but he was up in Detroit for business, and you know, and somehow ended up coming back to our house in Troy for whatever we were doing at the time.
And he fell in love with whoever's daughter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a cool song. I mean,
that's such a great song to do live. Like, you know, I enjoy pretty much everything off that album. That's probably my favorite record that we've done.
Now, one of the videos you guys did for a Rubber Rocket, where you guys did like almost like a karaoke thing around Detroit, where it was in one bar. The video was pretty cool, and you guys are in the big fur coats and everything. The women are all dancing around you. That seemed like it was a lot of fun that night.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the Woodward Avenue pub crawl kind of thing. I mean,
is that where it was?
Yeah, we just all these bars and you know, along Woodward and so forth, and we just kind of came in with the camera crew and so forth. It was a pretty low pressure video to make.
Yeah.
And, of all the videos, there wasn't a lot of stopping, and really you really didn't have to think about anything before you did it, and so, you know, it kind of came out, and yeah, it seems like that video has gotten a lot of YouTube traction, so you know, I guess it worked out.
Getting on to the two kind of a common thing between the last album, where you had a song called Down with McDonald's, and then the new album that's coming out, a song called Formula 409. Both those talk about like a brand name, McDonald's and 409. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything back from any of the companies that deal with those, like McDonald's or Clorox?
Oh no, we haven't. I didn't even know Clorox had anything to do with 409. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even worried about it anymore. Like after you know, we did the Taco Bell thing, and then the McDonald's, like, I'm just upset that those corporations aren't using them, you know, for ad campaigns. They're, Taco Bell came out with some sort of like volcano taco or something like that, and you would think that, you know, firing the Taco Bell would pique their interest, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess as long as we're not in litigation, everything's okay.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about, that you guys get sued by them, especially McDonald's, because McDonald's seems to be...
We're small potatoes. I mean, you know, they would waste more money coming after us than they would actually earning money. So, yeah, I think we're treading water nicely.
Then again, no publicity is bad publicity, though. So.
Definitely. Oh yeah, no, believe you me, I'm kind of hoping for that too. Yeah, and then I can, I can lawyer up, and, you know, I at some point in my life, I hope to lawyer up.
Now let's talk about the new album. Flashy is a new album that comes out October 21st. We're you put a unique representation of the whole album on MySpace. You just put all the tracks together in one big track and smashed it all together and said, "Here's the album, guys." And it was got a lot of reactions from the fans and stuff. It was pretty cool. I liked it. I was like, listen to it a few.
Yeah, our guitar player, the Colonel, did that. He just like, he's the one who recorded the album. So I think maybe one night he put that thing together and sent it out, and yeah, it was pretty good. That's a good way to preview the album. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, I should do that for all of them and say you guys figured out, and then figure out which song.
It was pretty good. It was the last two records he did, and you know, we found a way to make recording lower and lower pressure for ourselves, and I think that's the best thing you can do for a band is reward yourself with low pressure recording situations.
Yeah, where did you record the album at?
It was at his house in Hamtramck. Oh. He has, you know, home studio. I believe that, you know, home recording is, you know, the technology is such that, you know, I think big expensive studios are, I mean, you're already starting to see it. They're already starting to go bye-bye. So, you know, you can do so much more with home recording and make it easier and cheaper for yourself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this sounds great. You can't tell it was done in a home studio.
Well, the drums are at a studio, but other than that, it's all done at home.
So it's all done home right here in Detroit then. That's cool. Yep. Good that you guys are still staying to the Detroit roots. That's what I really like about you guys.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to do. If you're a musician, there's no better place to live in Detroit because Detroit is the cost of living is so low and musicians are such lazy, self-centered people. It works out great.
That's right. Now, the first track on the new album is called Gay Bar Part 2, which, of course, harkens back to the first Gay Bar. And is there a connection, or is it just a trick to try to say, hey, maybe this is a new version of the same song?
It's the latter. It's definitely an attempt to harken back to a time when you thought you were getting this, and instead you're getting this. But, I think we always knew we wanted to write a song called Gay Bar Part 2, so it's not a surprise to us that there is a song now. It is kind of surprising what it ended up sounding like.
Well, it's after the second time of hearing it, it kind of grew on me, and I forgot about the first Gay Bar completely. It's gone. This is my new.
That'll still always be there.
Now, would you play the two back to back when you play them live?
I don't know. We don't think that far ahead.
No.
Our next and only practice for the Flashy Tour is going to be on October 16th.
The day before.
And the day before. So yeah, we'll figure it out then, I guess.
Oh, great.
Yep.
And the Making Progress song on that album, it's a really cool song. When I was listening to it, I thought of like ELO. Mm-hmm. Because the whole song is done with the vocals done with you on a vocoder like ish. Electronics. What made you decide to do that for the whole song?
I think when we were doing it, I was just, you know, we're singing it regular, and it wasn't I was straining myself a lot, and mm-hmm. it just seemed really unnatural, and we were just like, let's run it through the vocoder, and it just immediately sounded right. So the less you interfere with stuff that sounds right, the better.
Yeah. So what's your favorite song on the new album?
It's Making Progress.
Is it the last one?
Yeah, easily. Yeah. I think it's like some of the best lyrics I've ever written. The problem is you can't really hear them.
Yeah, that's the only thing. When it's through the vocoder, right?
If you stay up all night sitting cross-legged and smoking tons of pot, I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out. Yeah.
Now, there's rumors that there might be a show-only CD I read about on the internet. Once you guys might be releasing out one for people who go to the shows. Is that true?
Yeah. It's basically a collection of demos from 1996 on, not only demos, but actual, like, you know, home recordings, a wild bunch of stuff. It's kind of a compilation of rare stuff from the last 12 years. The bulk of it is actually demos from the Senior Smoke era. I would say it's almost half seems to be like, because that was, you know, after the big album, you know, people were like, take your time and write and make sure you write another Gay Bar, and, you know, we need another hit. And so there was a lot of like, you know, go into a studio and do this, or, you know, we haven't heard the hit yet. We'll give you guys a few more weeks and see. So there was a lot of writing and a lot of period, you know, from, that's what I was looking at. I was like, man, all these songs are from 2004. But, yeah, so there's a lot of fallout from that area.
Yeah, no era. There was no pressure to make a Gay Bar 2, though, right?
Yeah, there totally was.
I know. That's being sarcastic.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Like, you know, it was hard at that time because, the main thing was like the Gay Bar was, it wasn't written consciously to be a big hit. You know, like, in fact, you know, it was anything but, and it was written, you know, 9 years before it was a hit. You know, I mean, it was actually one of the first songs I ever wrote. And
really?
So you know, people want you to replicate that, and then you're giving them songs like Rock and Roll Evacuation and Jimmy Carter and stuff, and you know, they're just like, that's not Gay Bar, that's not what we're looking for, and like, you know, so I didn't really care at the time. I mean, I just wanted to do the album we wanted to do, but there was a lot of fallout because, you know, it, one thing I can say about that time was it was nice to have that much time to like write and screw around and come up with different ideas.
Yeah, well, after 15 years of that song being around, do you ever get tired of singing it?
I do. I think, like you said, after 15 years, I'm finally starting to get tired of it. Yeah. But we actually in August left it off the set list intentionally. We played a show in New Jersey, and I remember like Tate looking at the set list and he's like, "You forgot a song, man." I'm like, "Yeah, I know, I forgot it." And we you know, we did two encores and, like, left the stage, and then, like, everyone's yelling gay bar, and, like, man, I was just like, oh, man, this is never going to end.
So did you break down and say
it then? Yeah, we did, but, I mean, it's kind of, you know, I guess it's a curse, but it's not a bad curse to have. I mean, it's not, you know, in the terms of, yeah, I always look at it like, you know, you could have, you could have, like, the most debilitating disease. You know, at the painful, debilitating, turns you into a horrible person, and you're living in excruciating pain. Or the worst thing that can happen is you have to play gay bar every time. So I'll take the latter.
I think I would too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all relative.
Yeah.
I said there's nothing wrong with liking a flashy man.
Speaking of live stuff, I saw you guys live. You did a show at the Crowfoot earlier this year at the benefit show with Johnny Headband and the Meatmen. It was a really, really cool show, really good stuff live. And the venue is awesome. The venue is in the Crowfoot is really cool. It's been open for a year, just over a year now. And where are some of your favorite places to play in Detroit? Just speaking of Detroit, and then maybe all over the world.
Oh, well, the Crowfoot is definitely up there. I mean, I thought it was an amazing venue. And so, you know, hopefully we'll be able to go back there.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool to play St. Andrews Hall. Like, you know, I still kind of can't believe that we play there as frequently as we do. You know, when I was a teenager going to shows there, that just seemed like, you know, you see like the tour buses parked out front and you know, it just always seemed to be, you know, that was when you had no idea what the music industry was about and what it meant to go on tour and, you know, how it worked. And so, like, you know, I always associate that with, you know, that's where you see like rock stars and stuff. Now we're playing there like every 6 months, and you see the other side of it. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I like, and the Blind Pig, of course. You know, yeah. Like, it's all, you know, the Blind Pig shows are always amazing.
That is a cool place too for it.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Ann Arbor, so that's a big gig for me. I always like doing it.
Dan, you guys we're about places all over the world. Where's the best place to play all over the world?
Oh, Scotland always comes to mind, just because they do things a little differently up there. So, you know, Scotland's always, it's always on the radar. We haven't played in Amsterdam in a long time, but, that's a place I'd like to go back to. And, I don't know. Jeez. And then Moscow. We've been to Moscow a few times, and I still can't believe that. You know, that's pretty amazing.
That must have been totally surreal going to Moscow. I mean, going as
it's always surreal. It might be the most surreal city in the modernized world.
Yeah. What was it like to meet William Shatner?
Oh, that was a brief meeting. We were actually. We were actually in a puppet show together. It was like this Irish, Irish kind of Muppet, like, okay, what it was called, it was the Bronx Bunny Show, and I don't think it actually ended up airing, but it was like they were filming the pilots, and I was in LA to do the Dance Commander video, and so the guests on my show were myself and William Shatner, and you know, that was pretty amazing. So I said hi and hello and took the picture and so forth, but I didn't really actually interact.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a long meeting or anything like that. So there's no chance.
No. It was a brief meeting. Yeah.
No chance of you singing on his next album whenever he comes out with one.
No, I doubt it. But yeah, it was a pretty amazing day. That's for sure. And I learned a lot from him about interviews. Like, you know, it's like I said, you're being interviewed by a puppet bear and a puppet rabbit. And he's, you know, like I watched him get interviewed, and he was just so smooth, and you know, just handled it so well, and it was just another day in the life of William Shatner. And like, you know, for me that was a big deal to be interviewed by puppets, but you know, he just like, you know, he took control of the interview. He started asking them questions, and I thought that was great. Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, Danger High Voltage is out on karaoke, and I've sung it myself. Have you done any karaoke versions of your songs other than that one?
No, I've only sung it once at karaoke. That was pretty funny. You could tell a couple of the people were like he's doing that way too well, you know. at the same time, I don't think they put two and two together. But I've seen Gay Bar too as well. But I don't know. I obviously when I go out and do karaoke, you know, I've got some routines, and they don't include electric six.
You like to sing karaoke then?
I enjoy it. I don't always seek it out, but it's a relaxing hobby.
All right. Well, next time you're in Detroit, come down to Wyandotte.
Karaoke or no karaoke, I'm coming to Wyandotte.
I do karaoke in Wyandotte, so.
Yeah, I'd love that. I've been meaning to hit Wyandotte.
Yeah, I hosted a small bar on Oak Street.
Okay. I'm there, man. One of these days, I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Now, like we said, you earlier played all over the world. Have you guys had any weird stuff that's happened on tour?
I guess you'd have to be more specific than that.
Disasters or crazy stuff?
We've had things. You know, we've had tires blow out and so forth. But I mean, I don't. You know, I keep an even keel. People run on stage, and you just remove them. You just quietly remove them, or you know, taser them, and that sort of thing. It's not that. I mean, you see a lot of stupid people out there. That's the thing that always, you know, you wonder about, like, why things are the way they are, and then all you have to do is just go on tour, and you just meet some, you know, horrendously stupid people. You meet some great people though too.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad. But the thing that you always take home with you at the end of the tour is the stupidity.
You remember the stupidity more than the great people, you mean?
You stay in touch with the great people, but you remember the stupidity.
Yeah. So what was the best band to play on tour with so far?
Oh, dear Lord. there have been a few. We got this band, the Golden Dogs, that are going out on our next tour.
Right.
They're probably my favorite band around right now. I think they're just amazing. So you got to put the Golden Dogs up there.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. There have been so many, and you know, we are blessed. So we are absolutely blessed.
Is there any bands that you say you'll never tour with them again?
Yeah, there's plenty of those too. maybe we're not that blessed. Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, like, you know, there's just a billion. And you know, back to the stupidity thing. There's a lot of good bands out there, but there are five times as many horrible bands. I mean, never underestimate the ability of human beings to come together to make truly terrible music, and it's fascinating.
So, what kind of music are you listening to now? When you're on tour, or when you're just sitting at home, what stuff you have?
I play a ton of internet Scrabble. I probably play about 20 games a day.
I was gonna get to
and,
that.
I do that, and I'm on the political blogs. Like I remember, like I'm kind of going through the same pattern I was in 2004, where I'm just like on right wing blogs and left wing blogs and neutral blogs all the time, and just I love reading comments. You know, I love like seeing how people comment on this aspect of that. You know, it's fascinating.
So what's your take on the current political situation here in America?
in terms of whoever the next president is, I'll probably feel better about. But yeah, I don't I don't all I do is vote I don't really donate to any campaigns or anything like that. Yeah. So, I, at this point, I can't not vote for Barack Obama. I feel good about that. But I've never felt like the President of the United States is going to affect my life directly. At this point, I just feel like who's less likely to start some sort of agitated war with Iran. And that's the way I look at it right now. So, I'm gonna put my money on Obama at this point.
Well, and that's the we need to find a president that takes care of stuff at home more than worry about stuff that happens in Iran, Iraq, and I realize that they.
I agree, but at the same time, I just don't think that if you break down your life at an individual level, no matter who you are, I don't think whoever's occupying the White House is really going to affect you that much. And I could be wrong, but that's the cynic in me.
Well, should we talk about our current, now former mayor of Detroit, then?
Oh, Kwame, he's fascinating. That's why politics is fascinating because, it's 90% about the PR and we wonder what they actually do and so forth. And just like you see, like how certain people act one way and other people act another, it's more about the spectacle. But I can't speak for Kwame Kilpatrick other than that he seems like a total ass.
Yeah, that's what a good way of summing it up right there. A total ass, and he definitely.
Yeah, not too many people are gonna be on the fence on that. Yeah, I mean there's a guy who had it and lost it.
But the funny thing is that they reelected him.
Yeah, I probably would have voted for him the second time just for the sheer fun of it.
Just for the fun of it.
Maybe a third time too. come on, vote. It'll be funny.
What will he do next?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like he was a truly special politician. There's some bad ones, and then there's Kwame Kilpatrick bad.
Yeah, well, we could go on all night talking about Kwame Kilpatrick and what he's done, but. Yeah.
Yeah, my phone's about to run out of juice.
All right. Well, are you talking about the Scrabble real quickly? You said you play that on Facebook or someplace else?
I play on IFC, Internet Scrabble Club.
Oh, okay.
There's a rumor that Bill Gates plays at Scrabble there too, but I don't know.
Are you any good?
We'll see. I keep hoping to break through. I feel like I've gotten to like the one level of good, but like then the exceptional level of good. I'm just like I'm not there, and I don't feel like I'm any closer. But it is. I've been at it now for well over 2 years, and I haven't stopped. Like I mean, I have a pretty short attention span, and I get into things and I get out of them. But this is something that I kind of see myself doing for a long time. And hopefully, want to get to like tournament level good, that kind of thing, and because I have a true zeal for Scrabble.
it's addictive, I can tell you that.
It is. It's amazing. Even now talking to you, I'm thinking about like how do you use C's and V's? Those are the ones. You can't the two letters you can't make the two letter words out of. It's all about using your C's and V's. If you can find a way to use them, then you'll win the game.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
And yep.
Your tour starts October 17th, the Hit in the Walls and Work in the Middle tour with Local H and Golden Dogs. And you're starting on the west side of the state, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then you're finishing
every... We're starting in East Lansing.
Oh, there's one before then? Oh, in East Lansing? Okay.
We had an East Lansing show. It's a new small plant.
Oh, okay. So what date's today on that one?
That's October 17th.
Oh, okay, October 17th in East Lansing. Then you're going to Grand Rapids after that?
Yep. It's East Lansing, Grand Rapids, a day off. That's the way we like it. Those are our first 3 days on tour.
You finish in St. Andrews Hall in Detroit on November 29th. So
yeah, so it's Lansing to Detroit the long way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And many places in between.
Yeah, it'll be good. We took the spring off, so we were definitely well-rested and ready to go.
And the album comes out October 21st?
October 21st on Metropolis Records.
Metropolis. Good to hear that. It's a good album. Looking forward to seeing you guys live on the 29th. I will be there. That's the day after my birthday.
That'll be good. It is a good album. We're very proud of this record, and if we can make 20 more like it, then we'll be in great shape.
So we'll have a Gay Bar Part 3 in the next album, then.
Could be. Don't put it past us.
And where's the website where everybody can get you at?
Electric6.com. Go ahead and hit us up.
All right, cool.
Sounds right. good, man. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good tour.
Bye-bye.
And congratulations
Bye-bye.
On the wedding.
Thank you.
Take care.
Listening to IR Detroit, part of the Insomnia Radio regional family of shows. For detailed show notes and band links, head over to detroit.insomniaradio.net or to subscribe and get it delivered, feeds.feedburner.com/IR Detroit, or just look for us in iTunes. Thanks for listening.